Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Maseches Nida Daf Yitzayin. We are holding 9 lines from the top of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Hey Dvarim Hein. There are 5 things that one should not do. Sha'oisa oisan, that if one engages in these 5 things, they can be very detrimental to one's health, and therefore he would carry chas v'shalom responsibility for any adverse outcome. Meschayev ben nafshoi, he's liable to his life. V'damei b'roishoi, and his dam, his blood is on his head, meaning he would be responsible chas v'shalom for any adverse outcomes. What are these 5 things? Ha'ichol shum kalav, if one eats garlic that had been left peeled overnight, ubatzel kalav, onions that were peeled, ubeitzel klufa, peeled egg. So all these that went through the night should not be eaten. They attract an evil spirit and can be dangerous. Vashoyse mashke mezugin shavar halein halayla. Likewise, a beverage like wine which had been diluted with water and passed through the night should not be drunk. Likewise, a person sleeps in the cemetery that attracts evil spirits and can be detrimental to his health. A person tosses away the nails that he cut off his fingers or toes. An expectant woman can walk on them and can harm her fetus. Item number 5, which can have a very weakening effect on a person. A person lets some blood out, which has a weakening effect, and then he engages you. He's together with his wife. That can have a very weakening effect, detrimental to his health. Now the Gemara will explain, elaborate on the details of these behaviors. Ha'echol shum kalf, regarding the peeled garlic, says the Gemara, va'afak av demanachim besilta. You should know, even if they're sitting in a basket, a container, and they're totally closed up and sealed, umitzairi, tied up, closed up v'chasimi, and sealed, which typically repel demons. Here, they're so attracted to the evil spirits. Ruach, ruach, the evil spirit, shir alein, lands on them, and one should not eat them. V'lo yamorin, but it's only a concern. If they're fully peeled, without any remaining peel on them, el delishir b'hin yikaron, oikli pasni, hasn't left on them the yikaron, as she says of the strand, the hair, the roots. Rashi says, "Sa'orayis shebereish hashum va'batzel." These fibers that come out of the top of the garlic or the onion. Oikli pasan, or he didn't leave even a drop of the peel on the actual avol shir behem. But if he left some of these behind, the karnikli pasan, that protects it. Leislam, but there's no concern. Vashoyse mashkin. So actually, some bring that a way around this would be, let's say he has peeled eggs, chopped up eggs, so you put in some salt. And some explain that by, you know, putting some salt and oil, turning it into like a salad, changes its entity, it turns into a new entity, in which case there's no issue about the ruach ra. Some say even a little bit salting that would be enough to be discernible would be enough as well. That changes it from its original form, in which case it no longer attracts the ruach ra. Vashoyse mashkin mesugin shavar alein halayla. These liquids, went through the night. Amar vida mashmoya busha lonum klimat matchos. It's only a concern if it was sitting in a metal container. Amar apapo klei neser. So he says, "B'klei matchis." Papa says, "B'klei neser ki klei matchis damu." The keli made of neser, some sort of element, alum. So that has the same status as klei matchis, and the same effect. V'chein amar b'yechanon, v'shalon b'klei matchis. Only concerned if it was contained in a metal container, and u'klei neser has the same status as klei matchis damu. Alam b'sakforis. So he slept over in the cemetery. Kedei shetishu ala brach tum, of the intent to attract the evil spirits so that he can be empowered to do all kinds of things, and zimnan demesakinli, could turn out that it will be to his detriment. They'll come and latch themselves onto him, and he can get harmed. Chas v'shalom. And I told the point of zaken just to rob him. What's wrong with tossing out the nails? Meshiish umu beres, a beres halein, umapeles. Is a concern that an expectant woman would step over it and it could harm her unborn baby. Someone first explained. This is a midah k'neged, measure for measure, an einish, because way back Adam HaRishon, before he sinned, by being fed the Eitz HaDaas by Chava, his wife, so he was fully protected and clothed from head to toe with nail-like substance, which protected him. Because of the sin, he lost almost all of it, and was only left over at the tips of his fingers and toes. So that has something to do with the woman, and if she would step on it, that would come back to haunt her, being that she was the cause of the diminishing of the nail material and the protection that came with it. Okay, continues the Gemara. But it doesn't apply in all situations. It's only a concern of the shakl ben gnustri. So if you just, you know, bit off a nail, it's not an issue. Only if you remove the big gnustri with a scissor clipper. It's only a concern of the shakl diyadi dukari. If he cut the fingernails and toenails, so did it together as one package, then it's a concern. And furthermore, it's only a concern. Although he goes mida by stripe, he hadn't cut anything after he cut off his nails. Aval goes mida by stripe, he did something afterwards as well. Last lumba, it diminishes the concern. We have no issue with these nails. But the Gemara comes back and disagrees. All these do not, address the concerns. Lekula milsa chashinan. The concern applies in all circumstances. One should take care not to discard of his nails, lest a woman come and chas v'shalom be affected by it. By the way, the place can bring that if it's you drop a nail, you can't find it, so you could sweep it out. If it's taken out to a different area, it's not in the place where it initially landed. It addresses this concern. Some say even within the same room, 4 amas away. But ideally, one should be careful that the nails do not, scatter around. In fact, we have a braisa directing us how to conduct ourselves with care and safety. There were three forms of discarding nails, depending on your level of righteousness. Soir von chassid. One who burns them is a chassid, a super righteous man. Tosfos says, why is he a chassid? Well, firstly, this guarantees, it's an absolute guarantee, nobody will stumble over them. And furthermore, says Tosfos, actually, it can actually be detrimental to the person himself. He burns material off his body. Tosfos brings a riot from the Gemara on Shabbos. So basically, he's putting himself at a disadvantage in order to protect his fellow Jew. That's a true chassid, going the extra mile. So that's above standard. Kaivran tzaddik, person simply buries them, throws them out carefully. He's a tzaddik, taking care that nobody, would harm himself. Zerk and Rasha, one who tosses it away haphazardly, he's a Rasha because he's being careless and considerate. If he goes from one to the other, it can be detrimental. As we learn to make his dama mashamish mitasa, a person does a cousin followed by being together with his wife, having so the outcome can be that the child born from this experience can have this weakness. He keeps his name mashamish. If they both were involved in a cousin, then that can bring about even worse off result, the children that was extremely weakened, Bali Rasan, Amara. Well, Amar, it's only a concern if he didn't rejuvenate in between, if he didn't eat something in between, if he had something in between, less number that rejuvenates and allays the concern. Amar of Chizda. Oslo Adam, Shishamash Mitasa Bayayim, a person must refrain from being with his wife during daytime, Shinemar, Vahav Tzurach Kamaycha. Ensure that you have full love for your fellow Jew. My mashma, how is that connected to this discussion on Abaye? Because if it's daytime, Shema Yirubo Davar Aguna, it is Gan Olav. Because he might notice something unattractive, and she'll become distant from him. She'll become unattracted to him. And that negates the concept of after kamaicha, which certainly in a very, very great way applies to one's spouse. So any detraction from that, the highest level of attraction, will interfere with the ability to have true love and avas after reacha. Amar Rav Huna. In fact, conducting oneself with a measure of dignity is an expression of kedusha. Amar Rav Huna, Yisrael kedoshim him. Yisrael are a holy people of Ein, and they refrain from being mishamshim, as they say, and during daytime being. Amar Rav. We speak about noticing something undignified. Moya bias awful. Therefore, if it was a dark room mutter, then it would be allowed. The Talmud Chacham, who is extra careful, meticulous, he'll be sure to darken it, even if it's not naturally dark. Ma'apil b'ksuso, he can darken with his ksus, with his garment of mishamish. It's not. Now let's go back to that brisa discussed yesterday, which seemed to make a reference to daytime. Be'tashamish lo yaharner. So b'shamish required a special vadika per experience. Or reuse the same cloth. And b'mishamish lo yaharner. So you can check, you can inspect the content of the cloth, which implies that it's permitted in front of an air. How does that work with today's discussion? Answers the Gemara, no, we're not speaking about being together, lo haner. A motiv de lo haner. Rather, we're speaking of how to inspect the cleanliness of the cloth. So even though ideal would be daytime light, but as a second option, a candle will do the job. So we're speaking about checking the candle, the cloth. And that's allowed, lo yaharner. Toshma. The Braisa says, afal b'sha'amr ha-mishamish mitasoy lo yaharner, heri ze meguna. The Braisa made a reference that even though it's not ideal to be together in front of a ner, which sounds like, okay, but lacking another option, it would be allowed. How does that fit? Eima ha-boydek mitasoy lo yaharner. Again, we're speaking about checking the cloth. Lo yaharner, heri ze meguna. It's not really preferred because you don't have the same, you know, power of light as you do during daytime. Toshmai comes another kasha. We say daytime is forbidden. There's a brisa which praises the family of Munbaz HaMelech. V'shal beis Munbaz HaMelech ha'yo'isen gimul dvarim. They will do three things for which they were praised by the Chachamim. Maskir noisen l'shvach. Number one, ha'yim shamshim at the same b'yayim. They were involved during daytime. I thought it's not allowed. Number two, Boitkin Mityusim, they would do their examinations with Mila Parhava, with cotton, which, because of its pure whiteness, it would actually, you would discover any spotting. So it was ideal to use this cotton material. And the third thing that they were praised for, v'noigin tuma utahara b'shlogin. Although in halacha, snow doesn't really have status, not as food or as liquid, but they did apply rules of tuma and tahara regarding snow as well. So they were extra meticulous, extra careful, had higher standards, and they were praised for these things. But what about that first item, k'tani mia? What did the brisa mention first? Mishamshim etesein b'yayim. Which implies that it's loud and even praiseworthy. No. They would check their cloths during daytime when things were clearly visible. Boykin says, same, but that's where they were praised. It makes sense that that is the correct understanding, because if we're speaking about being together by day, suppose, okay, for argument's sake, would be allowed, but why would they be deserving of praise for that? If you're going to suggest mishamshim, that we're speaking of being together by day, maskiras l'shvach, why would they be praised for that? And Chanami says the Gemara, actually, there could be a reason that it's actually an advantage, because during nighttime, because of the extra tiredness and exhaustion, one might be lacking in cognizance and awareness and attraction, which is an important ingredient in a successful experience. The agav dika oinas shena, because of the overwhelming exhaustion and tiredness, megani vapei, she can lose favor in his eyes, says Rashi here, around halfway down the omad, oinas shena, tukshu nenas b'shena, because he's utterly exhausted. Einam is sabaloi. Doesn't really have proper pull towards her. Kalkacha mishamish. And the reason why he's engaging is just to, you know, fulfill his obligation. L'kiyam mitzvahs o mitzvahs oina ba'almo. Oidorat soysa. To appease her. But he's not really into it. Believe by katzba. He's really disengaged. He's emotionally disconnected. That's a no-no. V'ubibnei tesh amidois. Amru ben adarim. In fact, it's one of those nine. Less than ideal unions discussed back in Maseches Nedarim. One is Bnei Snua. If there is an element of dislike, of emotional distance, so one has to be careful to have this element in mind. And perhaps that's why they would be praised, even though daytime is less than ideal, but at least it would accommodate this required element of attraction. And perhaps that's reason to praise them. But it turns out that really, that's not what the Braisa meant. It meant, of course, that they inspect their cloths when it's really bright and light during daytime. Okay, the second item on the list was a boykin mit yisem b'milah b'harabah. They would do their bedikos with pure white, you know, cotton material. Say, alei l'shmuel, to write the shmuel, am shmuel. That you meant to use pure white material. Either use cotton or clean, you know, soft wool. That explains an interesting phenomenon. I was there in Eretz Yisrael, Ba'ar Shabbosais, on the Erev Shabbos, they would call out, Ava Amri, they would call out, Man boy pekuli b'na'ama, who would like to have these, you know, cotton balls, whatever, b'na'ama. B'na'ama means bread. I had no clue what they were talking about. Cotton for bread, but now I understand. Bread is a dignified reference to marital interaction. In fact, we have the pasuk by Yosef, "Eskimas halechem asher oichel bread." So, Friday night, which is the ideal zman of oina, it's a time of oina for tamid chacham. So, they would make it available, and that's why it was cotton, because that's the ideal material to be used for this purpose. Amar Rav Hani Shachki the Kitna, Mali Bedika. In fact, worn out cotton materials are great for Bedika. Aini, is that true? A cotton works? Well, Tanu De Menashe, we learned, Ain Boikin Samita, you can't use a colored material. And cotton is like, and linen is like off-white. Le Beid Adam, not a red cloth, Le Beid Shachar or black, Le Pishta, nor with linen, Ela Pekulin. Only cotton or pure clean wool. The answer is like this. Actual linen, you know, fibers are not appropriate, but cloth made of linen, that works. Why same? Another pshat. Both are speaking about linen material. It depends if it's fresh and new and not so absorbent, perhaps scratchy and can cause more harm than good. The one that's recommended is the one that's worn out and soft and absorbent and gentle. The third item that they were praised for was applying Tumah rules to snow. Not Hassan, we have a Mishnah, in fact. According to basic halacha, no, snow does not have a status of old food or liquid. It's not really liquid, and it's not really food. It's not really solid. It's on its way to melting. So chishev alav achila. Let's say he considered it food for himself. He's going to eat it. So in that case, it doesn't work. It's not considered food regarding being susceptible to tumah. But let's say lemashka, if he planned on drinking it, waiting until it, you know, melts, then metametumas mashkan has a status of liquid because it's on its way to melting. So it's more, in the scope of things, it's more liquid than solid. So you can designate it as liquid, and then it can be metami tumas mashkin, kumtami like any other liquid. Now, let's say you have a glob of snow. Part of it became tummy somehow. The whole thing is not affected because each granule is separate and distinct. It's not one block, one entity. Let's say the whole thing somehow became tummy. Now you want to be an entire part of it. So you brought it to the mikvah and you made contact with the water in the mikvah. Rashi explains, we have to know that really food cannot be immersed in a mikvah, only people and utensils. food, there's no concept of purification through a mikvah except for liquids. There, but it works differently. There, if you take your liquid and you touch it, tap it to the water of the mikvah, it becomes like connected. It's like you plant it in the ground, you planted a seed in the ground, it becomes batel, says Rashi, it becomes nullified, it becomes absorbed into the broader, you know, body of water, and it becomes tahar. So even if you tap just a corner of the glob of snow to the mikvah, nitar miktsasa, the whole thing becomes tahar, nitar kula, and first I'm going to explain, because since it's one sort of collection here of snow, so that can connect to the collection of water, becomes one big entity, despite the fact that they're separate granules. So in terms of being considered the same mikvah, it works, even though it's snow. Now we have an inherent contradiction. Here we say, Amris, you said, if the corner gets tummy, the whole snow is spared, because they're separate and distinct entities, each granule. Then it says, well, if the whole thing became tummy, how do you remove the tumah? Just the corner works for everything. Well, how did the whole thing become tummy to begin with? You think somebody went and touched each little granule? Apparently the whole thing became tummy somehow. How? On my body, very simple. You put it through the airspace of a kli cheres, whose airspace conveys tumah. Took it through the airspace of a earthenware oven, which had tumah inside. So the whole airspace became affected, and the whole glob of snow was present in that airspace. So whichever granule, it's all tumah. The Torah testified and declared regarding kli cheres that its airspace becomes tumah. Afilu malichardo, which took on the base. Afilu malichardo. So let's say there's a tumah item in the kli cheres. Even if the kli is full of mustard seeds, a million mustard seeds. So if only the walls of the kli would be tummy, it would convey it to the first layer of seeds, over to the second, that's it, it would stop at a certain point. Tummy could only go that far, but here, the whole airspace is a conveyor of tumma. So even the granule all the way in the middle, light years away from the wall, would be affected as well, because it's in the airspace of the tunnels. That's what happened. He took a glob of snow, ran it through the oven, the whole thing became tummy, but once he taps it to the mikvah, the whole thing is tar. Okay, so in conclusion, we had some health-related warnings, peeled onions, garlics, and eggs, spoke about caring for one's nails, spoke about Yisrael Kadoshim Haim, and only involved during nighttime, spoke about the proper material to be used for bedikos to determine tahara. Okay, over to the next mission. Mashal mashlu chacham b'isha. The chacham presented a mashal, a metaphor, describing the anatomy of an isha with respect to damnita. We have hacheder, the inner chamber, that's the womb, the uterus, which produces the dam, which makes her a nida, which channels into this canal, v'aproizdar, which is the passageway through which the dam would flow out of the isha. And then you have above that v'ha'aliyah, like a second floor, an upper chamber. Try to reconcile this with today's known anatomy. Some say it's the bladder area, some say it's the ovarian tube area. In any case, theoretically, there could be blood generated in that area, which is not a naturally occurring thing. It's not, meaning it's not a regular thing. It's indicative of some sort of infection or medical condition. But technically, there could be blood generated from that upper area, which of course is not damnida. And that blood can trickle down through a little perforation, a passageway, into the proizer below. And again, that dam is not dam either, because only the dam coming out of the womb, out of the uterus, out of the cheder, out of the room, is considered dam either. Says the Mishnah, dam ha-cheder, the blood coming from the cheder, that's the classic dam either, that's tamay. On the other hand, dam ha-aliyah, some sort of complication, some sort of infection, that's not dam either, that's tahar. It's like a dam of a maka. So if you know exactly the source, if you can determine it's coming from the cheder, you know it's tam. From the aleh, you know it's tar. What if you found it in the proizdar, in the passageway, in the canal, which can receive blood from either source? Nimtza a proizdar. You have to assume that it's tamay, sveika. Its uncertainty is determined as tamay. You know why? Most likely it came from the maka, which is the regular producer of dam. Most dam comes from the makar. which is Tamei. Kafi shechaskas said, because its presumption is to be min hamokar, from the source of Nida. Okay, so again we have the Isha who has a cheder, which is the womb, the uterus, from which the dam Nida flows out on that floor of that cheder, into the proister, and out of the Isha. That dam is dam Nida. On the other hand, we have dam coming from the Aliyah, trickling through this lul, as the Gemara will call it, into the proister below. And that is blood which is tahar. Now, interestingly, the two flows have distinct channel, different routes. They don't really collide with each other, because the dam of the cheder flows along the floor of the cheder into the floor of the proister. In our diagram, it's sort of like to the left, and it makes its way out through the left side of the proister. On the other hand, the dam of the aliyah flows a bit to the right, along the right surface, right wall of that proister, and then circles back down and leaves the Isha. But as the Gemara will tell us, there's a possibility that she lunged forward. So in that case, the dam, which is meant to be flowing along the left wall of the proister, could have landed on the right side, could have sprayed over to the right wall of the proister, where the dam aliyah would be found, and really it's dam nida. On the other hand, if she sort of lurched backwards, the dam aliyah, which is tar, could have relocated itself to the left wall of the proister, which is the dam nida channel, and really it's dam which is tahar. So we do have to address all these possibilities of dam flowing through its regular way, and perhaps something unusual which may have occurred as well has to be taken into account. Okay, so let's see. Rami Bar Shmuel, he was a Talmud of Rav Huna, and also Rav Yitzchak Brei Rav Yehuda. Tanu Nida, they learned Hilchas Nida in the yeshiva of Beit Rav Huna. Okay, who did they meet up with? The son of the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Ashkechinu, who met them? Rabba Bar Rav Huna. And he sees them learning, saying over the shiur. The Asvi Kamri is sitting and saying over what they learned in the yeshiva Bar Rav Huna. So what does Rav Huna teach? Acheder mibifnim. The cheder is towards the interior of the Isha. The proizdar is towards the exterior, bechutz. The aliyah bnuya al shteyan, and you have the aliyah built over both. So you have an inner chamber, an upper chamber, and a passageway, a canal, which can receive blood from either source. With a little pasuach, there's a little perforation, a little opening, pasuach bein aliyah leproizdar, between aliyah and the proizdar, which allows its blood to trickle down to the proister. Okay, knowing that, let's say you discover some dam in any of these areas. What's the status? So according to their version of Rav Huna's opinion, there's no certainty at all. There's no determining with certainty what's going on. It could have come from anywhere. Nimtza min alul b'lifnim. So within the proister itself, it depends. We sort of split it into two. To the right of the lul and to the left of the lul. Nimtza min alul b'fnim, it's found in the proister, from the point of the lul, inward towards the cheder, that had to have come from the cheder, because the blood of the aliyah has no access to that point. It doesn't flow in that area at all. Sveikei, so its uncertainty is considered tamei, meaning it's not determined as vadai tamei. We're concerned, and we give it a din of tamei misafik. So you wouldn't burn, you know, truma based on that. But we adopt a tamei approach to it. What if it's found on the outside area of the proister, min alul b'chutz, beyond the lul, which is where the blood of the aliyah would flow? In that case, you say sveka tahar, because you don't know. Yerushalmi to Torah, Yerushalmi from the Aliyah. So he split the prisoner into two zones, so to speak. From the lul outward is Torah. From the lul inward is Tamei. Having heard this from the Talmidim of his father, he came and he asked his father to corroborate it. Also, Amar Lavo, he came to over to his father. He says, Sveika Tamei Amras Amar Lahu, did you in fact tell them that it's only a Tamei Misafik? Amras Lanmar? But we have a Mishnah which says no. And you find Daman appraised there. You have to assume definitively that is Tamei. Va'anan, we have a Mishnah Shechazkosai Minamokar Tanan. Amarle, so Rafuna says, of course. They must have misunderstood. Amarle, Ano, Hachi Kamin, of course, that's what I said. Minaluva, Fnim, Va'anai Tamei. From the lul inward, of course it's Tamei, not a Safak, it's Va'anai. Because any blood in that area is certainly flowing out of the Cheder. And we don't assume that the blood of the Aliyah sort of jumped back into the area. Unlikely. It's Vaday Tamei. Menalul Bachot Sveika Tamei. But they found it in the Proizdar. From the point of Elul outward, there you can't assume definitively that it's from the Aliyah. Even though that's the channel, that's the route that the Aliyah blood would take. Sveika Tamei. We have to entertain the possibility that, in fact, the Damnida somehow sprang over there. The Gemara will tell us, because maybe she lurched forward and the blood jumped over to that area. And it's unlikely that she jumped back. So when it's found towards the back, we assume it's going its natural course. That's the Dama Bacheder, which flows that way. When it's found in the front, then it could be from the Aliyah, but it could really be Damcheder, Damnida, which jumped forward when she lurched forward. So Misafak, you have to be Matami. Now Abaye he said, look, either way, either you're concerned about an abnormal, you know, trip, in which case you have to be concerned in both directions. If the Dam of the Nida jumped forward, so maybe the Dam of the Aliyah jumped back as well. So in either location, you don't know, is this the Dam flowing its natural course, or was it relocated from elsewhere? How can you differentiate? Amar Abaye, Maishno, what's the difference? Nalug lachutz, found on the outer part. Sveika Tamei, you say, well, even though that's the route that the Dam Torah takes, you say, no, it's Tamei Misaf. Doma Shachsa, maybe she jumped forward, she lunged forward. Mecheder also. And the blood that's found in the right wall of the Proizda, which is typically the Aliyah lane, it came out of the Cheder. It jumped forward. So the same you can say in reverse. Menalul v'lefnim nami. If it's found in the area behind the lul, which is typically the cheder channel, maybe it came from the aliyah side and it jumped back. Menalul v'lefnim nami. Ema, you can say is dakra. She lunged back. Umi aliyah also. And really this dam is dam tor coming from the other side. Elam Abaye says, look, we have a choice. Either we're working with the natural course of events, in which case we have to say the dam on the outer area of the Proizda on the right wall is certainly the Aliyah blood, on the left wall it's the Cheder blood, and we don't, you know, consider any other options, flippings and lurchings. And if we're concerned about abnormal movements and dislocation of dam, then it goes both ways. So either way, it's just a suffix. Here it's a suffix. And here it's a suffix. Elam Abaye, Ibas HaChashasha Azaz. If you're going to work with, you know, theories of lurchings and flippings, either be the suffix who? Wherever you find it, it's a suffix. Found it in the front, it could have come from the back. Found it in the back, it could have come from the front. So it's always going to be a suffix tummy. Ibas HaChazaka Azaz. We're going to go with the standard route, assuming that it's flowing its natural course and there was no splashings. And so then Menalul v'lefnim v'aday Tamei, okay, if it's on the inside of the Proizdar, then you say it's certainly Tamei, because that's the lane that the Damnida takes. And Alul Achutz, found on the exterior of the praise door beyond the Lul, that's the channel that the Damalia takes, Vadaitar. So let's pick our choice. Either it's both Suffolk because of some sort of possibilities, or we discount the possibilities. And here it's Tar, here it's Tame. Okay, so at this point, we'll have four shittas regarding the discovery of the Dam within the Proizdar, which we explained is really divided into two sections. The section that's Lul Vilafnim, beyond the Lul, towards the interior, you have a Lul Vachutz, in the outside of the Proizdar, from the Lul outward. So let's start with Abaye in the second shot says, look, natural course of events is that the blood on the inside of the praiser, a little of him, that's flowing from the cheder, it's tummy. Lul Achutz is tar. According to the first verse from Abaye, concerned about chashashos, the dam, you know, changing locations. So then, Lul Vilfnim is Tameh, but it's just a Safek, because maybe it came from the outer area of the Proizdar, which is from the Eliyah. Lul Vilachutz is Tar, but it's still a Safek, because that Dam could have theoretically come from the inside and just flipped out. We have Rav Huna who says, Lul Vilfnim is certainly Tameh. Apparently we're not concerned about the blood from the outside flipping back in. But Lul Vilachutz, you would say it's Tar, but no. Maybe really the dam came from the inside. When she lurched, she lunged forward, the dam sprayed out into the outer area of the praise dome. Therefore, we have to say it's Tamim Misafik. Talmidei the Rav Huna did not give any definite status. Everything is a Safik. And they said, Lul Vilachutz, that's typically from the dam Aliyah, that's Tar. Sorry. And Lovel of Nim, it's a suffix as well. We treat it as Tame. So, according to them, basically, the Dam inside is Tame because of the likelihood that it's coming from the Cheder. But again, it's only a suffix. You know, we wouldn't burn Truma that she would have touched in this state unless you can ascertain with definitiveness that it came from the cheder. It's tamei misafik. Soon the Gemara will elaborate another, add another point that was found on the gag. It's found on the roof, so to speak, of the praise. We'll get that in a minute. Okay, so according to them, lul vilfnim is tamei misafik, lul vachutz is tar misafik. Continues the Gemara. Now we have two more opinions, which really aren't new opinions. We'll have to see how it reconciles with these aforementioned positions. We have Rabbi Chia and Rav Ketina. Continues the Gemara. Tani Rabbi Chia, he says, Dam on inside of Proizdar. Dam discovered in the Proizdar. It's certainly Matami the Isha. There's no question about it. Chayav Nalo Avias Migdash. She enters the Migdash now. She's Chayav. Chayav Echatos. V'serf Nalo Vesat Truma. She handled Truma. You burn it. There's no question. It's Tami Vade. Now, where in the Proizdar was it found? Lul v'lachutz, lul v'lufnim, we'll get to that in a minute. Rav Ketina Amar, he also agrees that it's tamei, but only on account of an uncertainty, safek. At most, it's a safek tamei. You can't bring a karbon, you can't burn truma, you just leave it, you know, in limbo, you don't eat it, you don't. Rav Ketina Amar, ein chayav anolav al bias migdash, ve'ein sarf no psa truma, there's no karbon, there's no burning truma. Now let's try to match it up with those four shittas and see if we can reconcile. L'ach lishno. Okay, so let's start with Abaye. Abaye had two approaches. The first was, everything is a suffix. Lul Vilfnim is suffix tamei, Lul Vilchutz is tar mi suffix. Lach lishnam Abaye ibas a chashasha aslis. That if we take the chashash route, the unknown approach, maybe the blood found here was really from there, maybe from there was really from here. Okay, so then there is never a vaday tuma. Even lul v'lefnim, it could have come from the outside of the praiser. Maseil le Rav Ketina, Rav Zev Ketina, who also says that there's no vaday tuma, if to count for all possibilities. even though it's more likely that the blood found in the interior of the proizer came from the cheder, but maybe it's really blood coming from the outside of the proizer, originating from the aliyah. So that's right, Tefkatino fliga de Rav Chiya. In disagreement, Rav Chiya says, dam is vaday tamay. There's no such thing as vaday tamay, according to Abai's first approach. Always itself. Lach lishn da amari basa chazoka azlis, according to the second lishn Abaye, chazoka, meaning you go with the presumed flow. So, the dam in the proizer, to the left of the lul, towards the interior of the isha, is vaday tamay. To the right, towards the exterior of the isha, is vaday tor. Okay, that works for Rav Chiya. Misayel Rav Chiya. And Rashi says, well, Rav Chiya will be speaking about finding dam in lulav lefnim, interior portion of the proizda, which is considered tummy. So that works. Next amud, upliga de Rav Katina, but this is a disagreement of Rav Katina, who says that the dam at most is only tummy misafik. Going to buy is not such a thing. Here it's Vaday Tami. Here it's Vaday Tami. Okay, now the Rav Huna, let's go back to Rav Huna, who sort of made a split. He says, Lovel of Nim, we assume it's from the Cheder. So it's Tami Vaday. Lovel of Chutz, it's also Tami, but it's just Misafik. So going to him, we can actually avoid any Machlaikas here. Between Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya, and Rav Katina. They speak about different locations. The Rav Huna like Pligi, they're not even disagreeing with each other. Rav Chiya says, Tamei Vaday, that's Lulav Lefnim. That's the channel coming out of the, that's the root coming out of the Cheder. Kan, Lulav Lefnim. Whereas Rav Katina says, it's only Tamei Vesafe. Kan, you know, Lulav Lechutz, he found it on the outside of the Proister, beyond the Lul, towards the exterior. So there, likely that it came from the aliyah, but there's a possibility that the blood had sort of sprayed out from the inside of the proizder, landed over here. So it's a misafik, it's tummy. So they're addressing different locations. Hello! Here we're going to get stuck. The Talmidim of Rav Huna, according to them, there was no dam that's vaday tummy. The inside of the proizder is Safik Tam. Outside of the proizder is Tar because of its uncertainty. So now we're stuck because if there's no case where it's Vaday Tamei, Rabbi Chiya clearly says Vaday Tamei. Ella Rabbi Bar Shmuel or Yitzchak Breider of Yehuda, the Amri who say it's always either a Safek Tami or Tar completely. Minalul Blachutz, that's Tar, Sveika Tar. That's the route that the Aliyah blood takes, running along the right wall of that Proizdar. Minalul Blachnim, Sveika Tami. Beyond the little towards the interior. Could have come from anywhere, could have come from the Cheder. Could have come from the Ali as well. They say it's a Tami Misafik. Hani, my Matukma. So how are they going to interpret these words of Rav Chiya and Rav Katina, who are speaking about, you know, blood flowing the praise there? Mina Luv Lefnim. The only option is Luv Lefnim, because Rav Chiya says Tami Vaday, Rav Katina says Tami Safik. Now, if it's in Lulav Lachutz, according to Talmid Rav Huna, it's completely Tar. So that's not an option. They must be speaking about, Rav Chiya and Rav Katina must be speaking towards the interior of the Proizder, Lulav Lefnim. Okay, so Rav Katina works, because he says it's only Talmid Misafik. But what about Rabbi Chiya, who says it's determined as Vaday? And they hold only Safik. Lema Pligad Rav Chiya, shall we say they're arguing Rav Chiya? Loi Kasha, listen to this. Within that Lulav Lefnim area, you have the floor of the proizder, which, as we explained, is the natural route that the Dam HaCheder takes. And that's what Rav Chiya is talking about. That Dam is Tamei, Vaday. No, they weren't talking about that. They were talking about the roof of that area coming out of the cheder. Now, the roof surface is not really a natural location for that. That's not really what you would find down out of the cheder. It should be on the floor, flowing out with the force of gravity. It should be stuck on the roof. So when you find it on the roof, it's sort of no man's land. It could either have come from the cheder or from the aliyah, because it's not on course of any flow. So there we say, Tamid the Rav say, there is where we said that it's only a suffix tame. Totally different situation, because there it's not found on a natural route, on a natural track, a natural path of either bloods. So there you have to speculate. No, it could have come from here, it could have come from there, because anyways, it's not in its natural position. Like Kasha, Kankh Shinimtsabu Karka Praiser, Rav Chiyu says, Dam is Vaday Tomei, Shinimtsabu Karka Praiser, which is a natural flow of the Dama Cheder. But we're speaking Shinimtsabu Gag Praiser, Bagag Praiser, the rooftop, the roof surface of the Praiser, coming out of the Cheder. So since it could have come from either source, there we say, although we treat it as a suffix, as a tamei, it's only misafik, because of the possibility that really it's dam tar. Okay, so let's just recap again. We have the cheder, at which the dam flows into the praiser. We have the aliyah, which produces dam into the praiser as well. Now, dam from the aliyah is tar, dam from the cheder is tar, from the istamei. What if you find the dam in the praiser itself? So according to the Tamid of the Rav Huna, as we just explained, if it's found luv lachutz, that's the natural channel, that's the natural flow of the Ali, that's tar. If it's found in the praiser luv lafnim, it depends. If it's on the karka of the praiser, that's the cheder dam flowing out naturally, that's tamei. If it's in the gag of that area, which is not really a likely place to find dam, it could have come from either side. So either way, it had to sprinkle, had to spray from somewhere. So there, they considered it tamei, but only on account of a suffix. According to Rav Huna, dam and the lubel of nim is tamei, lubel achutz, well, although you would think it's coming from the aliyah, but it really could be dam nida, which sprayed over here when she lunged forward, tamei misafik. That by his first approach, well, if we're concerned about lungings and flippings, then it's always going to be suffix. Lubel of nim is tamei misafik, lubel achutz is tar misafik. By a second approach, we work with natural flow. We assume lubel of nim is coming from the cheder, vaday tamei, lubel achutz is vaday tar. Okay, all the best to you and hatzlacha rab.